I'd like to call this February 5th Board of Supervisor meeting to order. The time is 9:01. If we could all please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, and I will ask CEO Nino to lead us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Today we're going to get started with a presentation. It's a resolution proclaiming February 2013 as African American History Month in Stanislaus County. And starting out will be the president of the NAACP Modesto Stanislaus branch, Mr. Frank Johnson.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Chairman, supervisors, thank you. I'm going to squeeze 100 years of history down in 3 minutes. We know the history of many black leaders, Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, but let's talk a little bit about the history that allowed them to be the leaders and rise to greatness as they did. We look back many, many years. The names of those that are never, ever mentioned. And those people are the ones that allowed slaves to hide in their barns and took many chances. They're the ones that snuck Bibles, clergymen, priests to the slaves, allowing them to learn the different religions. What were their names? Who were these people? We have many, many stories about how whites were persecuted because of their relationship with blacks. What was their name? We come out of the South and we go northeast, and we find Jews being persecuted. And the whites that stood beside them were also persecuted, hung, shot, homes burnt to the ground. What were their names? They became fed up with it. A group of philanthropists got together, had some money, and decided to challenge the civil rights and human rights of all people. And the Jews and the whites partnered up and thus formed the NAACP. Out of that came many, many African Americans. First was W.D. Boyce, who lost all his friends because of his association with whites and Jews. No one trusted him anymore. This black man went on to rise and make the NAACP ever stronger after the riots of Springfield, Illinois. And as we move forward in time, we find ourselves looking at the Freedom Riders and the whites that got on the bus and rode in cars that were shot and killed beside blacks. What was their name? You see, history isn't about one culture. It takes many cultures in this country to have a presence today. Who were the politicians that dare try to make a change? Some were killed before they even went into office. What was their name? History isn't about who we are. The importance of history is what we have become. Thank you.
If you could come around. The theme for this year is At the Crossroads of Freedom and Equality. That's the theme of this year's African American History Month. We all know we celebrate MLK's birthday. We just did that last month. Yesterday would have been Rosa Parks' 100th birthday. What a celebration. We're on the 150th anniversary of the Emancipation Proclamation. So this is an anniversary to be celebrated. There are two things, there are two turning points in history that we're celebrating today, and that is the Emancipation Proclamation, and the second is the March on Washington. And that was in 1963, when 250,000 people went and listened to Martin Luther King give his speech on the steps of the Abraham Lincoln Memorial. And it was, you know, I have a dream. So today we're celebrating that. And then the outcome of that was the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Now, Stanislaus County, I want to give a couple of quick examples of people who have played a role in our history. Notably, there's the Maddox Youth Center in Modesto, if anyone's familiar with that. That was named after Judge L.J. Maddox. He was the first African, or he was an African, I'm sorry, an African-American who graduated from Harvard Law School. So, pretty amazing. In 1905, he was elected as the district attorney for Stanislaus County, where he served in that capacity for 11 years. He was elected in 1914 to the California Senate. He was the chairman to the Committee on Irrigation. He also served as the irrigation attorney for Modesto and Turlock Irrigation Districts. So he's steeped in what is agriculture today, and not many people know him. He was appointed as a Superior Court judge in 1934, where he served here in Stanislaus County. So very amazing. There's also Helen White. They're currently naming a trail over by the King Kennedy Memorial Center. She's put in tireless hours. She was known, nicknamed Mrs. Westside, for her work with the youth. I also think of Odessa Johnson, who served as a UC regent for over 12 years. So we have a lot of history here in Stanislaus County. So on behalf of the Board of Supervisors, we have a resolution proclaiming February to be African American History Month. And thank you very much for coming in. We do appreciate it.
Let it be known that this is Stanislaus County's history. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Quickly talk to your dad, try and get rid of the nerves. Good morning to my colleagues on the Board of Supervisors, to CEO Monica Needham and County Council Jack Doring. I'd like to welcome our county department heads and employees, those of you that are here in the chambers, and those of you watching on TV or online. I'm extremely proud of this Board of Supervisors and honored to be a part of it. I'm proud we can work together, even when we respectfully disagree, with a common goal of making Stanislaus County a better place now and into the future. Stand before you today as a man who is thankful, and thankful for the many things in my life, including my family and friends. I am thankful I've been given this opportunity as chairman of the board, and I will do my best to make a positive difference in our community. I'm thankful for the amazing residents of Stanislaus County and the tremendous pride they show in mentoring, leading, volunteering, coaching, and working to make our community a better place every day. Our community pride can never be taken away, and it defines who we are. I'm thankful for the Stanislaus County employees. You serve the public with a passion and level of excellence that is exemplary. As a board, our goal for the county is excellence, and I want to express my heartfelt appreciation to every county employee who fixes their eyes on this ideal of excellence each day. In last year's State of the County address, Chairman O'Brien eloquently laid out a narrative bringing the past 5 years of economic challenge into perspective. He highlighted the hope that county funding was stabilizing and that we had reached the bottom of a deep economic pit. Today I'm taking a somewhat different approach to this address and will be looking at some issues that go beyond the walls and authority of county government. This might seem unusual, but I hope you allow me the opportunity to lay out why I feel compelled to pursue these significant issues. We're in a time with historic importance for our community and our nation. The economic devastation of the last 6 years will be noted for generations to come. Our community has been deeply impacted, and we continue to receive fresh wounds. Thousands upon thousands of residents have been greatly impacted, and we know the recovery is lagging behind the rest of the nation. I want to point out something that is strikingly important to me, yet largely overlooked in this historic moment, and that is that our actions and responses to this crisis are being watched by future generations. We are providing our children and the next generations in our community an instruction manual on how to deal with the challenges that life brings. If we stand back and look, are we responding to these challenges with grumbling and complaint or words of encouragement and leadership? Are we responding by isolating ourselves as victims of circumstance or by displaying clarity of thought and commitment to action? I strongly believe that as powerful as they can be, our circumstances do not control us. And I ultimately believe our county must not be subject to the will of chance and external forces. History provides us with many lessons. Our ancestors worked long and hard in difficult circumstances to build better lives. Sometimes they received little in return, but they worked and they dreamed. Many started with few material possessions, and many left the world with the same, but they lived honorable lives. I'm very proud of my father. He came to this country as a poor immigrant. He never owned a car, a moped, or a bicycle. In the old country of Italy where he grew up, he would walk or ride to work with others while saving what he could. I'm sorry. When he moved to the U.S., his determination for a better life continued. He lived in a small room on the farm where he worked. He was paid $200 a month, and after only 1 year, he saved enough money to buy his first car. I love the example my father set for me. Thank you. He's here with us today. Those Chiosos are weak people. He was not alone in his fortitude and perseverance. Our ancestors were visionaries and they had determination. They were not perfect, but they persevered. This land of ours was a tapestry of opportunity, and our ancestors were the artists with vision who created masterpiece after masterpiece on the canvas. They worked hard, dreamed big, built impressively, saved prudently, and gave to others compassionately. And by the way, my mom and dad purchased that farm where my dad used to live, and that small room that he lived in is now our chemical storage shed. That's the power of hard work and perseverance. Looking back on this time of crisis we now face, we want the history books and future generations to see our response as a key, strong foundation on which we built a better future. We want our young people to see a generation that has risen up and not given up in the face of adversity. And I am calling on us as individuals and as a community to unite for the purpose of creating a better tomorrow. This is the legacy I would like us to leave. I'm a realist driven by passion and vision, I love our community, and I'm a believer in the power of the residents of our county to make this a better place. I know things are difficult, yet I am more steadfast than ever in seeing that what will be a better future for the generations to follow. I believe the tapestry of opportunity still exists today, even with the challenges we face. We live in a community with deep roots in civility and compassion. We live in an area with a wonderful climate, a dynamic agricultural industry, and we have some of the best health care in the world and an expanding higher education system. Our arts community continues to grow in vitality, and there is much to celebrate right here. We live in a place where generations of people have reached out and worked for a better community. I think programs such as Love Modesto, which has spread to cities throughout the Central Valley, where thousands upon thousands of people are committed to improving their community. This type of involvement is inspirational. Pastor Jeff Fishney, representing Love Modesto, is here today, and I want to thank him for his work. We live in a county rooted in compassion, strength, and values. However, this community we love is facing some significant issues that threaten our future well-being. Today, I will be highlighting the issues of employment, gangs, and education, and their impact on our community. And I'm hoping today will mark the new beginning in addressing these issues and charting a path forward over the next 10 to 20 years. Unemployment in Stanislaus County is historically about twice as high as the rest of the nation, and we've gotten used to that. There are more than 35,000 people out of work in our county, which is the equivalent of the entire labor force of the cities of Turlock and Patterson combined. Looking to the future, our best estimates show if we stay at status quo, we will need an additional 26,000 jobs by the year 2035 for population growth. So between those who are unemployed and our status quo future jobs need, we know we're short approximately 61,000 jobs over the next 25 years. The most current commuter statistics reveal more than 42,000 Stanislaus County residents leave our county for their employment. If you add them in, that's more than 100,000 jobs in all. For more perspective, if you add in our top 10 major manufacturing employers in Stanislaus County, like E&J Gallo Winery, Frito-Lay, Seneca Foods, Del Monte, ConAgra, etc., our top 10 manufacturing companies employ approximately 14,000 people. Stated bluntly, the tens of thousands of jobs that are needed this very day in Stanislaus County are nowhere in sight, and the additional tens of thousands of jobs for the future cannot currently be reached. For a community that struggles with poverty, this is sobering. We know there's a jobs problem, but our strategies from the past are not working. Our fight against gangs has yielded little success. For years, public safety officials have told us, as a community, we can't arrest our way out of the gang problem. Law enforcement fights a difficult battle as they cannot fix the root cause of gang involvement. They do a tremendous job with the cards they are dealt, but they're only playing with a small part of the deck. This is a community-wide issue that needs community-wide solutions. Most recent statistics show we have more than 5,000 documented gang members and their affiliates in our county. If you include those people who associate with the gangs, the number is much higher. We arrest where we can and add to an overcrowded jail system where many young people learn to become worse people. Our juvenile hall has a maximum security wing that is routinely full of youth arrested on serious felonies such as murder, attempted murder, robbery, and assault. Gangs are now commonly three generations deep. I think this photo from right here in Stanislaus County tells a significant story. This little boy's one-year-old birthday cake is adorned with foam fingers flashing a gang sign. I ask you, what hope does that one-year-old boy have of avoiding the gang lifestyle when he's been indoctrinated since birth? My hope is, as of today, if you live in this county, you will see gangs as your problem. If you're a nonprofit, they're your problem. If you're a business, they're your problem. If you're a faith-based organization, they're your problem. Gangs are wreaking economic havoc on our communities, and they are destroying the lives and futures of our young people. We know there's a gangs problem, but our strategies from the past are not working. Our workforce is some of the least prepared in the state of California, and our county education rates are low. Yet we complain that high-paying employers aren't located to Santa Claus County. In California, about 30% of the residents age 25 and older have a bachelor's degree. In Santa Claus County, that number is a little over 16%. If you look at people with a college diploma in Santa Claus County, their median income is almost $52,000 compared to that of a high school dropout who earn a little over $19,000. In the early 1990s, our county's high school dropout average was better than the state. In the mid-90s, we started consistently performing worse than the state. There have been improvements over the past few years, but we have room to grow. Our teachers are seeing changes in our children at school. Some of the best teachers are telling us that schools are not the same as they were even 10 years ago. The children used to be well-rested, loved, and nourished. The times have changed. Now teachers struggle with a lack of parental involvement and student apathy. The wide-eyed wonder and excitement of children is missing for many as they appear disconnected, with one educator even telling me, far too many kids seem lifeless. The education issue affects the quality of lives of our children, and it also impacts the quality of life of the entire community. Our children who don't have a high school diploma are more likely to commit crimes, be on public assistance, and more likely to have significantly lower wages. We know there's an education problem, but our strategies from the past are not working. Each of these areas, employment, gangs, and education, ties to economic development and to the foundational values of our community. We need a community-wide vision for Stanislaus County, built on the foundation of a better education, the rejection of the gang lifestyle, and a plan for long-term economic development. We will need to look at these problems creatively, and we cannot settle resolutely for mediocrity. For if we settle for the mediocrity of the past, we set the inevitable course of decline for our future. The issues are endemic, entrenched, and seemingly endless. However, in order to break a cycle, sometimes there has to be a significant life-altering event. I think this economic crisis could be our life-altering event. It's time for us to use this adversity and start building for a better future. I am proposing we use the skills of some of the best leaders of private industry to inspire creativity and innovation like we've not seen before. And we would need to develop community-based teams. These leaders, or champions, if you will, would work collaboratively with representatives of government, education, nonprofits, faith community, and other private sector organizations. I've made a commitment to reach out and find the right community leaders for these roles, leaders who embrace this vision for change and are committed to innovation. There are some who are going to resist this idea and say, what does an entrepreneur know about gangs or dropout rate or long-term economic development strategy? And my response is they're probably not experts in this area, but they are experts in problem solving, they're highly creative, strategic thinkers, and they're experts in getting people to work together for a common solution. These leaders are exactly who we need for community-wide issues. In a county that's been able to set a benchmark for public agency cooperation, I would like to see us known in the future for innovation in our public-private collaborations. What I've found is there are often multiple people and organizations working on the same issues, and they might not even know the other project exists. There are many who are trying to do good things, but much more can be done in a coordinated and collaborative effort. We will need to develop specific goals and objectives for these important strategic initiatives, with benchmarks to measure our progress. Most importantly, we need to be accountable and report our progress to the community. We'll need to identify who's already doing what, how it's working, how we can work better with one another and build on each other's strengths. We will need more people and organizations to get involved. For example, if we want to decrease the number of students dropping out of school, we need better data. It needs to be shared. We need an integrated effort involving multiple stakeholders from both the community and the education system. The issue goes well beyond the walls of our schools, and we have to stop looking at the education system alone to fix this problem. Tom Chignon, the superintendent for the county's Office of Education, has already been working on the issue before we met. He has agreed to place their support behind us. Tom is right there in the back. Thank you very much, Tom. Appreciate it. I've also learned other school districts and agencies launching their own separate efforts. We need to coordinate and work together on this and leverage our resources, talent, and best practices. And we are recruiting for the right person from the community to lead this effort. This should be the first phase of an even deeper education strategy to come. The growth of gangs in our community must be stopped and reversed. We must not accept their presence in our community as normal. It is far from normal. Many nonprofits, community, and education groups have created gang-related problems. But similar to the dropout rate, we don't have a community-wide comprehensive strategy that maximizes scarce resources. I am proposing we create a community-based gang reduction initiative that creates the opportunity for hope and a productive future for people in gangs and considering gangs. We need to look at this issue from statistical metrics to prevention, intervention, and suppression. We need to better understand the problem and the root causes and then identify a countywide solution that can be implemented and tracked. The more kids we keep out of gangs, the more we reduce the power of gangs and their economic impact as well as their curse on the future of our young people. We need more jobs. I strongly believe the entrepreneurial spirit of 100 and 200 years ago is the same entrepreneurial and creative spirit that will rebuild our county today. We need a comprehensive jobs plan, including a map of the necessary land inventory to bring it to fruition. I have gained commitment from Dr. Jeff Michael of the University of Pacific's Eberhardt School of Business and Dr. Goki Sotomayor, Professor of Business Economics at CSU Stanislaus, to assist in developing 20 and 40-year job projection model upon which we can build. Business entrepreneur who's with us today, Jeff Berta, in the back, has agreed to be the founding leader of the Employment Expansion Initiative. While none of us knows what this plan will hold, I can guarantee you we will need to work tirelessly, whether it's becoming a recognized agriculture entrepreneurial hub, an export center of excellence, a Latino business corridor, a comprehensive health services training region, any scenario. In any scenario, we must work in unity to leverage our resources to position our region for success. We need a vision for who we will be. It might take 20 years to get us where we need to be, but we need to start now, and we need to have a roadmap. I would like to thank CSU Stanislaus President Dr. Joe Shealy, who has given his support of our three strategic initiatives. I have greatly appreciated his counsel on our path forward. He is passionate about our community and its future. Thank you, Dr. Shealy. We all want the benefits of a safe, well-educated, economically thriving community. But we are all going to have to invest of ourselves if we want to make this happen. Whether it's working to improve your own neighborhood or stepping out in a more expansive vision, your individual effort will be needed to lift our community. Our ancestors built utilities where there were none, roads where there were none, railroads where there were none, libraries where there were none, hospitals where there were none, and schools where there were none. It took time and it took vision. I believe these three areas are vital for the rebuilding of our community and for a successful future, and I believe by working together, this vision can be brought to life. Now that I'm done fixing all the education gangs and jobs problems for the county, I'm going to turn my attention to our own house here in Stanislaus County government. Over the next year, we need to model the same type of vision we're asking of our community. In the area of financial accountability, we need to honor the work that was accomplished by board members prior to this economic crisis by first replenishing financial reserves and then maintaining them for future economic downturns. We need to be positioned to take advantage of rare opportunities as they present themselves in facilities planning, such as with the construction funding of the Juvenile Commitment Center, honor farm beds, and jail expansion. Our staff has done an amazing job of being creative and innovative on capital projects, and we owe them a debt of gratitude. Starting January 1st, Stanislaus County began operating the Riverbank Oakdale Transit Agency through a contract. We're excited to improve the service and reduce overall system costs. We will look for more opportunities just like this. Our county road and bridge maintenance program has a shortfall of nearly $14.5 million each year. With more than 1,500 miles of road and 230 bridges, you can see this $14.5 million shortfall in 1 year quickly becomes $138 million by 2020. We need more funds. The 2006 state transportation bond money is almost gone, and it has been stated that 1 year from today, 50% of local road money will be from self-help, will be self-help money. Self-help counties typically go to the front of the line for state funding opportunities. And sometimes counties that are not self-help are excluded from funding opportunities. The problem is we are not a self-help county. Some local cities have indicated they might press forward with their own tax initiative, but if that occurs, it would be nearly impossible to pass a countywide initiative. We need the private sector to bring back the idea of a countywide transportation tax to our voters. The Amtrak San Joaquin Corridor route is a bright spot for us and is the fastest growing line in the United States. I feel we need to support increased frequency of Amtrak service through our region. Also, connecting Stanislaus County to the Bay Area through existing regional rail like San Joaquin ACE train makes good sense and should be pursued. Under public safety, the Stanislaus County Community Corrections Partnership is another example of the county leading through innovation. Even though we are faced with a problematic statewide public safety realignment and we need additional funding, our county staff has been leading an integrated team to create the best possible local system we can afford. Our integrated approach involving mental health services, community service agency, education, and public safety is a creative approach in dealing with a significant shift. We need to carefully track our data and establish our results that we can share at the state and local levels. More accessible crime data is also needed countywide. I am asking our county's law enforcement executives, or LEX group, to consider producing a countywide crime report that would be made available to the public. With limited funding, we need to make sure that we are fully utilizing every resource. I am asking the LEX group to consider how we can more powerfully use data as a strategic tool in our fight against crime, including the sharing of data between the cities and the county, and also to our neighboring counties. Some positive results seem to be occurring in law enforcement, but it's difficult for the public to understand this if we're not publishing our data. And finally, in the area of public safety, more people need to be involved in their local neighborhood watch. If you're not involved, you need to be involved. This is a simple but powerful tool to help prevent crime in your neighborhood. On healthcare, the board has historically maintained a strong commitment to the healthcare of our underserved community. Our outpatient clinics support hundreds of thousands of patient visits each year from every city in the county. We spend millions of general fund dollars on the health care of our residents. We need to carefully balance local need with available resources in light of health reform and state health realignment over the next few years. The Valley Family Medicine Residency Program continues to be a bright spot by providing outstanding medical training for physicians. This year, the program will expand by adding an orthopedic residency that will begin in July. I've already highlighted the importance of the long-term economic development strategy for the county, and the Crow's Landing Air Base project is a key component of any strategy going forward. Our approach to Crow's Landing needs to promote the unique nature of this property and its strategic location just off of Interstate 5. We need to work diligently to avoid further delays, and we need to be prudent in finding a developer that can meet our needs into the future. We need a reasonable water policy in our county. Our land values are based on water, and we need to do all we can to protect it. Developing the policy needs to be done in collaboration with our stakeholders, including the irrigation districts. We have appreciated the work of the Ag Advisory Board on this issue, and we hope to see a policy later this year. The relicensing of local reservoirs is important for the health and economic well-being of our community. We need to protect our water from unreasonable demands during the relicensing process, and we need to find reasonable common ground for moving forward. Stanislaus County farmers export more than 90 different commodities to 100 different countries around the world. It took us 100 years to get to $1 billion in annual farm value of our crops here in the county. It took us 16 years to get to $2 billion, and it took us 5 years to get to $3 billion. Ag innovation is a growing part of who we are in this county, We need to look for ways to build upon the strength through building our exports and reaching new markets. At this time where sound public policy is needed more than ever, we are calling on our elected officials at the state and federal government to focus on local issues. We strongly exhort them to continue to listen to our residents, to promote us as a county, and to focus their energy on how they can continue to serve our local community. Fixing our negative bailout problem has been my top state priority as supervisor. The issue has diverted more than $63 million away from the county's general fund, more than $3 million each year. I personally pledge to continue pursuing a resolution and to diligently work with our state officials to fix this inequity. Almost done. As we look to the future, there are many battles to be fought and many challenges lie ahead. But with that is an abundance of opportunity and hope. I'm not so naive to think that some of the ideas I'm presenting here today might fail. I know they are inherently filled with challenge, and some people might be skeptical of their success, but I'm willing to accept that risk. And if we do falter, or if we fail for a moment in time, we will never give up trying because the stakes are just too high. Our community has amazing strength, and we must never let that strength disappear or quietly fade away. One of my favorite quotes is, "A rising tide lifts all boats." Very simple saying. I feel like the tide is rising right here, right now in Stanislaus County as we stand up for our community and our future. I am convinced we will see great things happen. We will celebrate those things that make our community great, and we will not stand down in facing those things that hold us back. Future generations will see we did not succumb to circumstances, but like the generations that have gone before us, they will see us embrace the tapestry of opportunity we call the present in order to create a more brilliant future for generations to come. May our legacy be that we were willing to rise up, take action, and persevere, even when the odds were against us. Will you join me in helping this vision to become our community legacy? Thank you. I'm actually going to, we're going to take a 5-minute break. First, one thing before we go, I have to shout out to someone. David Jones is sitting in the back of the room. Raise your hand, Dave. You have, when you write a speech, and remember I went to Houston High School, so keep that in mind. And you sit down with a vision, and you have to put vision on paper. And he's been very helpful. I've pretty much commandeered him for the last couple of weeks. So thank you, Dave, very much. I appreciate what you do for the county in your 10 different capacities. So thank you. Okay. With that, we're going to take a quick 5-minute recess so I can go dry out, and we will convene at 45. Thank you. Okay. Missing a couple supervisors. No, I'm not. I'm only missing one.
Send us coming.
Okay, back in session. Now we're going to move on to item number 3, which is public comment period. And this is anything that is not on the agenda today. Public comments for anything that's not on today's agenda. I'm ready. State your name for the record, please.
Emerson Drake, longtime Modesto resident.
I should get frequent flyer miles.
You know, I'm sorry she moved the, I thought it was going to be Salida's, the fledgling Salida's seat at the table. Turns out it was a stand for your water, but still, we were hoping. You know, we saw an action in democracy last Tuesday night at the Salida MAC meeting. We're going to go with the official count of 240-some-odd, a little higher, we don't want to go there. The point is, there was a great turnout by the public, something we haven't seen, quite honestly, at a board meeting or a city council meeting in quite some time. So hopefully, the board took notice of that, and I'm sure you did, don't misunderstand me, but I hope everybody took notice of that, because, you know, Salida has their problems. They've got the carpetbaggers from here in Modesto, the propagandists, that have their eyes up there. We hear that there's not enough shovel-ready land. Modesto has 5,700 acres inside their sphere of influence that they can develop as we speak. It's on their website. So why they're casting their eyes at Salida, when less than a mile down the road, they have one business park after another available for sale. So when they start eyeballing Salida, we have to wonder. But then again, I was talking to someone the other night, and they said, you know, the finest gems are crafted in a crucible of fire and pressure. And maybe that's what we're seeing from the Chamber of Commerce of Modesto and the Workforce Alliance here in Stanislaus County, is that chamber of pressure, that coming together, so we take a lump of coal or just a group of citizens out there, 13,000, and crafting them into the city. You know, I heard just a minute ago a man say, let us build a town where none existed before. Okay, I'm paraphrasing, all right? But the point is made. You know, it's obvious that the Salida might not be the deficit that we all thought they were. It would be great to see them come forward and be their own little city. It's not a redundancy. It's a group of individuals that have a common goal. You know, if we don't learn from the past, we're doomed to make the same mistakes. 96 should have told us that they don't want any part of Modesto. January 29th at the Salida Library told us that they don't want any part of Modesto. I would hope that one thing that this board will consider very strongly is to assist them in becoming their own town. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Drake. Anyone else? Anyone else like to comment? If not, we'll move on to the consent calendar. The consent calendar are all the items marked with an asterisk, A1 through 3, B1 and 2. Would any of the board members like to pull any items? Seeing none, anyone in the audience wish to pull anything? If not, I will look for a motion to approve.
So moved.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes 5-0. There is no Department of Public Works planning. We're going right on to correspondence.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisor reports? Martin.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. A good State of the County address there. When I was the chairman, that was the worst part of the whole thing, was trying to get put that thing together. I wanted to just make a comment about our amnesty for dog licensing, how successful that is through our leadership of Annette Patton. She's come up with the idea to have an amnesty and then extended it for an additional month. And I don't know what our figures are now, but it's well over 4,000, and it's I didn't think it would be unsuccessful, but it's exceeded what I thought would be possible. So I said, good job, and we need to get these dogs licensed, and apparently this amnesty has made a difference.
Yeah, for sure. Any other reports? Seeing none, we'll move on to the Legislative Fiscal and Management Report. CEO, Nino?
Yes. SB 144 from Senator Cannella has been introduced. This bill proposes to redirect the savings the state is realizing from realignment, which is our public safety realignment, and sending the money to counties on a pre-offender basis to ensure counties have the resources necessary to adequately address the increased workload associated with the increased number of offenders that have been transferred from the state of California to local government. The bill does not make any changes to the current public safety realignment that this county has benefited from since October of 2011. It does not change any of the underlying formulas, existing formulas, and I think both the public and county staff have been very much advocates. Our chairman has very much played a pivotal role with CSAC and that executive board to get that formula that was introduced the beginning of this fiscal year for fiscal years 12, 13, and 13, 14, because as a result, what happened was a number of the Central Valley counties ended up receiving a lesser proportional share for that public safety realignment. And so let me explain the difference between Senator Cannella's bill and our existing realignment. What it essentially does is, right now, the pool for realignment for public safety is roughly over $800 million. In that $800 million, it's been recognized by Senator Cannella's staff, and this is the piece that the bill is recognizing, that the state of California spent more overall funds towards their criminal justice system when it came to funding the cost associated with these offenders. So what this bill is trying to get is to get that net difference. That difference between the $800 million, and I have no idea exactly what that figure was, what the state was truly spending on their offenders that have now been transferred to local government. And so he's looking to get those additional dollars. I know a number of us Central Valley CEOs have the understanding that it looks like the state has already absorbed that into balancing their own budget. But I think there's a lot of hope behind this bill, and so I know this county and I know a few of our board members have been very supportive of this SB 144. To go further in regards to what's going on in Sacramento, the Legislative Council in Sacramento now has until February 22nd to complete the drafting of over 3,000 bills that will be introduced by February 22nd. We do anticipate the pace of bill introduction will increase rapidly. Leading up to that date, only roughly 10%, approximately 300 of those bills have already been introduced. On the federal side, violence against women has been reintroduced in the Senate. This is funding in past years that have come here also. That has funded our nonprofit, which essentially supports our local family justice center. We have been the recipient of some of the funds that have come out of the Violence Against Women Act. It has, like I said, has been reintroduced in the Senate, and we do understand that supporters are poised to pass it in the near future. There is still some debate over the controversial provisions in the legislation that will be renegotiated. Last week, the Senate did give final approval to suspend the debt ceiling until May. Energy will now have to be directed towards budget issues. Across-the-board cuts are anticipated to begin March 1st unless this issue is worked out. Chairwoman Boxer of the Senate Environmental and Public Works Committee will try to introduce a new Water Resources Development Act bill. That we would try to include as part of that bill the Orestimba Creek Project, which we work collaboratively with the City of Newman on. Which will go as part of the Army Corps of Engineers, would be needed to be included in that bill for additional funding for that project to go forward. And that concludes the legislative and fiscal update, Chair.
If there's nothing else for the good of the order, this meeting is adjourned.